been a good weekend. Wonderful meeting online yesterday morning. Lord, I thought it was with the brethren that preached and with the meeting in general and the good, sweet fellowship that we had. A good day this morning over at Union Church and sweet fellowship afterwards. Just good for all the brethren. At the end of the meeting, we came, went out and got around cookies and coffee and just sat there for a while and talked, and then got to stop by Subway to get a bite to eat with Sister Lois and Sister Janet and Sister Sharon, and a good time of fellowship. And then we come here tonight and just get to see y'all. Thank the Lord for our fellowship in the Lord and how good the Lord's been to us. I will say that I'm a little physically tired, but it's kind of a good tired. It's a tired that helps you rest well. But I surely need your prayers tonight. Appreciate the prayers that already have gone before. And I believe you have been praying for this meeting. I believe the prayer of Brother Mike is an answer to the prayer of God's people for the meeting. The Lord would bless a brother to pray, because the public prayer is words that are spoken out where a brother is speaking to the Lord. In a sense, for the congregation. Preaching is where we're speaking to the congregation as ambassadors of Christ to represent what Christ has given us and what the Bible teaches us. Prayer is speaking to the Lord, representing God's people. Both of them absolutely, positively, without question, need the blessings of Almighty God to be the way that it ought to be. And so tonight we're not meeting just trusting in any of us, but we're trusting in the Lord, who cannot and will not ever fail. On the way to church, I had some a thought and a passage of scripture come on my mind, and I had other thoughts all afternoon. I kind of got home about three, a little after three, and Sharon came here and turned the heat on, and I stayed at the house, and I was going to read and study and just hope that the Lord would give me something, and he gave me some good thoughts and did lead me to a passage of scripture, but it left on the way. It left, in a sense, on the way to church, and another passage came on my mind. And the Lord has been recently especially good in the sense that He's allowed me from time to time to see that He was working and has been working. And sometimes when you make an effort to preach, you wonder if there's any benefit in what you've said. And sometimes the Lord just lets you know, I'm in control. I got this. I'm taking care of this. Don't worry. You don't need to. And it really isn't about how you feel. It's about what I'm doing, what I have done, and what I'll continue to do. And sometimes as you've preached and you wonder why something was on your mind and why a particular passage comes in your study, or why you're looking at a particular verse, and then the Lord, just like as we're sitting here tonight and I bring up a thought about the preaching of the gospel, and Brother Mike sitting over there with a phone in his hand with the verse that I really had on my mind and couldn't recall. Isn't that great? How the Lord just brings it out. Makes me know and understand. That's how I know God is God. That's how I know He's real. That's how can you know that the God of the Bible is exactly who He is? Because like the hymn writer said, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own, and He's with me in life, and He's with me in the troubles and problems and circumstances that I don't have control over. And I just want all of God's children to know you have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll stick closer than any brother that will never leave you nor forsake you. And when he said, fear not, he meant it. Be not afraid. I've overcome the world. The world would overcome us tonight. The devil would lead us astray. We're under attack. We're on unfriendly ground. We're not in a world that's going to help you on to God. The hymn writer wrote that. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. There'll be some battles in your life. There'll be troubles. It's not going to always be easy. Life's not going to go smooth. Some people get the idea that if you just turn everything over to the Lord, that you won't ever need to worry about sickness, or you won't ever need to worry about disease or problems or heartache or trouble. And if you're having trouble, then something must be awry with your faith or your trust in the Lord. And it is true that things can get wrong with us and we can have consequences for that. But I'll tell you, this world is an unfriendly place, isn't it? It's an unfriendly place. But the Lord has provided. He has in the past, He is tonight, and He will continue. And looking to Him, we have someone to lean upon and to trust in that cannot and will not fail us. The passage that came on my mind, I might not be here before you very long. I've already enjoyed tonight, if I don't say any more. And if we can just have a good hymn and another sweet prayer and go home, that'll be good with me. Because I feel Him. I know He's with us. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians is a wonderful book in the Bible. It's written by the Apostle Paul. It's under the brethren there at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The first chapter tells us of the security of our salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's the author of our salvation and He's the finisher of our salvation. It tells us that we are His because He chose us. We didn't choose Him. And He chose us in love, and that we have in Him redemption, and that we have in Him forgiveness of sins, and that in Him we've been made accepted in the Beloved. It tells us in the second chapter that we are born again, that we're brought from death to life through the power of Almighty God. It's He who hath quickened us and made us alive. He tells us how He's torn down that middle wall or partition between us so that we're not to know one another in the flesh anymore. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew, naturally speaking, or whether you're a Gentile, naturally speaking, what does matter is that you're born of God and you're circumcised in heart, and you and I have nothing to do with that. It's the work of Almighty God. And He does that in the lives of everyone that He foreknew even before the foundation of the world. He will effectually call them. They will answer that call in obedience, in regeneration. And we're to follow Him and live for Him in our lives. Our living for Him, our following Him, doesn't make us His children. But because we are His children, we ought to be living for Him and walking and living in a way to honor and glorify Him. And He's left so much for us in the Word of God about how we're to do that here in a troubled world, in an unfriendly world. And I need to know tonight how to fight the battles, don't you? I need to know tonight how to stand strong in this world. I need to know tonight how to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Our churches need to know. Our churches are under attack. Listen, we're living in a day and time where we never know when someone might say it's unlawful for you even to meet. We don't know about that. The world has grown so cold and callous, and so many of the Lord's people have gotten wrapped up in that. Many of our churches are dwindling away, even to the point that just a few deaths in a few places could cause them not to even have a body of believers there. You know, I hate to think of all the little buildings that used to at one time house the Lord's people when they would meet. And many of us who've been around for a little longer than some of us can remember there was a whole lot more of those little houses around than there are today. Even in my lifetime, I know of many places where they used to meet that there's no longer a meeting. Some of those places used to fill up on Sunday morning. Some of those places used to be filled with families and filled with folks that were there to worship the Lord. Many of them went on to be with the Lord. Some of them kind of went away and went out into the things of this world and got drawn away. Some of those things we think sometimes couldn't happen to us, but how easily this old world can cause us, and things of this world can get us sidetracked. Have you found yourself sometimes growing a little cold? And have you found yourself sometimes wandering away from our God, away from the things of God? That doesn't mean we're going to get outside of His love or outside of His watch care. But it's important for us to draw close to the Lord. Close to Thee, we say. Thou my everlasting portion. May the Lord bless us to draw close to Him in this little assembly tonight. May we draw closer to Him in our personal lives to the Lord. May we understand that there are many things that are attacking us and many forces out there in the world, forces in high places, forces that would, if they could, shut down our little churches, that would shut down the preaching of the gospel. Here's the good news. When the Lord comes again, He's going to find faith on this earth. When the Lord comes again, His house will still be here somewhere. But we desire, at least I desire, and I believe you desire, like a dear brother told me today as he looked at me with tears in his eyes, he said, "Brother, if something happens to me, you do all you can to make sure this little church stays right here. And I know that I don't have any power to do that, other than to be on my knees asking God to continue to bless our churches. That God would bless our ministers. That God would send forth laborers into the harvest. That God would cause His little children out there in the world," because I believe there's a lot of His little children out there in the world that are hungering and thirsting, and some of them are trying to get everything they can from the organizations that they're going to. But they're not getting the full gospel. They're not getting the complete story, the complete message, the complete truth. Not that we have a handle on all of it, but I'll tell you what I found among the old Baptists and what I found among what I believe to be the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, is the message that salvation is of the Lord. It's not part of the way of the Lord. It's not some of the way of the Lord. But it's by His grace and His grace alone that we're saved. And I want that and desire that to be continued to be taught, as the Apostle Paul desired that they would continue to be faithful when he's gone. He said, "I pray that when I'm gone," and I'm not getting the exact words, but that you would remain faithful and that you would continue to preach and teach these things, and that there would be a light that's shining in Front Royal. There'd be a light that's shining in the different little churches that we have when the Lord comes again. I don't know when He's coming. I know He is coming. Isn't that good news tonight that He's coming? And when He comes, everything that's wrong is going to be taken care of. And until He comes, He wants us to occupy. He commands us to occupy until He comes. He commands us to be faithful. He has given us life so that we might live it in a way to honor and praise and glorify Him. And I know as I look at my life, I'll allow you to look at your life and examine yourself. But I know as I look at my life, there's a whole lot of things I should be and could be doing in a way that would be more pleasing to our Lord. Now, if I ever get to the place where you hear me think that I got it, would you please come and tell me I'm wrong and get me back? Because then I've really gotten wrapped up in my own ideas and my own thoughts. Listen, the very best day that we ever live, there's going to be things wrong with it. And that's why grace is such a charming sound. That's why grace means so much to me. That's why I'm thankful that He's my Redeemer and that He's my strength and He's my help. And I'm trusting in Him for heaven and immortal glory and in Him alone. The same God that I'm trusting in for heaven and immortal glory I want to encourage you and encourage myself to lean on Him with all of my heart and with all my soul and with all my understanding and not trust in my own self. Trust in the Lord. He said here in Ephesians 6 verse 10, He said, finally, after laying out the wonderful principles of the doctrines of grace in the early parts of the book, He's come and told us how we ought to walk. Over in verses in chapter 4 and in chapter 5, He tells us how we're to be followers of God as dear children, and how He beseeched them that they should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. He talks about their practical walk with God, and all of that's important. You see, God's little children who believe in grace also believe there's a place for works. Works don't get us to heaven. Works are that which you can do because of what the Lord's already done in your heart. Works don't make you righteous before God and make you acceptable in the sight of God. But works are what we ought to do because God has washed us in His own blood and He's made us alive. And ye who were sometimes darkness, are now are ye light in the Lord, as He tells us there, a walk as children of light. I want to walk better, don't you, as a child of light. I want to let my light so shine before men that others may see my good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And where do our good works come from? They come from the work of God in you. It is He who works first in you. But then we are called to obedience, to work out that which He has worked in. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You can't work out that which He hasn't worked in. It's like what Brother Mike said earlier. You can't tell someone and teach someone to know the Lord who simply don't have the grace of God in their heart to allow them to know Him. They don't have the understanding. They're but natural men who will not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto them and they cannot know them. They just have carnal minds, which is the enmity against God. They can't grasp all of those things. But when God has made darkness light, which means He works and speaks life to the dead, and He's given you a light to be able to know these things and to see them and understand them, it's important that we don't take them for granted or let them slip. We're to take the more earnest heed on the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, the Bible wouldn't say, lest we let them slip, if we could not let them slip. We can lose, to some extent, and to a great extent, the joy of the salvation. Not our salvation, but the joy of that salvation. We can lose the wonderful blessings, and it can happen to us so easily, so quickly. He tells us here there's a battle going on, and He tells us how to be prepared. He says, finally, my brethren, who's He talking to? He's talking to the brethren. He's not talking to those who don't know the Lord, who aren't the Lord's. He's talking to those who belong to the Lord. They belong to the Lord because He chose them. If they accept Him, it's because He first accepted them. And He didn't accept them based on what they would do. He accepted us and He chose us in spite of all that we had done wrong. Think of all that we were in, the trouble we were in when the Lord came to us. I was reading earlier Psalm 40, which says this. In verse 2, He said, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. That's where the Lord brought us from. And He says, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock. Isn't that good to know? The Lord reached down where you were in all the trouble. And He set your feet up upon a rock. And nothing I'm saying tonight about our actions and our behavior is going to change the fact that you belong to the Lord. And nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we as God's children want to draw as close to Him as we can. Why? Because it's honoring to Him first and foremost. But I'll tell you what, we need Him, don't we? I need Him. I need Him when a back hits you and trouble hits you. There's no help in men for that. But there's help in the Lord. When trouble comes in your family, and if it hadn't come in your family yet, thank the Lord. I'll just hang in there a while, though. It's on the way. It's coming. It's going to be there. And I don't care whose family it is. Sometimes we'll look at others and think, they're not going through what I'm going through. But you just talk with them a little while, and you'll find there's hardly not a one you'll ever see that doesn't have some hard, difficult things that you wonder how they're going to hold up. Now, there's only one way to hold up in this world. If you're going to raise children in this world, you're going to need the Lord to help you to know how to do that. If you're going to be married in this world with all of its misconceptions and misunderstandings about even what the institution of marriage is, without the guidance of God's Word and the guidance of our Lord, we won't have a clue how to act and behave in our marriage. And it won't mean a thing to us. We won't even understand what it's about. And the world has lost complete sight of that. But I'll tell you, God's Word hadn't changed about it, has it? What it said yesterday is good for today. And I say, as the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And we want to build our homes and our families. Young people need to build their homes and their families. Is this Bible just good for the past? Is it just good for those dear brethren we loved and saw fill these churches? Or is it just as good today? I said to you, it's just as good today. Don't you believe that? I want to preach it and to teach it. And if no one else believes it, I hope I'll go out of this world just preaching it and teaching it just as hard, because it is the truth whether anybody believes it or not. Now, I don't say that I don't care whether you believe it, because I want every one of God's children to not only hear it and see it, but believe it and walk in it, because there's peace in this pathway. There's a place to build your house upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is just, it may look solid, but it doesn't have any depth to it. You know what I found? That God's Word will guide you in your marriage. God's Word will guide you on your job. God's Word will guide you as you raise your children. God's Word will guide you as you come to church. God's Word will guide you as you face trouble. And when we even come to that final place in the lives of many when they die and leave this world, I'd hate to go to a funeral and stand by a graveside of a loved one and not understand what the wonderful truth of God's Word says about death. Wouldn't you? And I don't know how people handle it. I'm telling you, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. How do we know that? God's Word says it. There's rejoicing going on in heaven right now. There are some of God's children that are there in their disembodied spirits. There are some that are there bodily. Enoch and Elijah are there in their bodies. They're gathered around the throne. And I'll tell you what, there's seated on the right hand of the Father, a resurrected Savior who shows us and secures for us one day every one of them, without the loss of one, will be there in heaven in body and soul and spirit forever to be with the Lord. And that's the end of all of this. What could be so bad in this world that would take from that at all? That's the truth. Because of that wonderful truth, we have a promise that He who gave Himself for us, how shall He not freely with Him give us all things? Which means whatever battle, whatever trouble I face, I have an ability to be strong and to be able to face it in the Lord. He said He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. Can you look in your life and see how the Lord has established your goings? Can you see His hand? I say to you, I don't believe a one of us would have been here tonight if the Lord hadn't intervened in our lives by His grace and established our goings. How in the world did this boy from Madison County ever get to the front row anyway? Nobody leaves Madison County. That's a place where you raise there. Very few people ever leave. And that's just the reality of it. I'm sure it's the same way in Front Royal. If you're born there, not too many people leave. It's where we. But I'm over here in Front Royal and have been here And the Lord's led me in a path I would have never chosen on my own. And He's blessed me with many meetings, many times that I've been in the church meeting house with brethren that are now with the Lord singing praises. And many times I've been in the van going down the road talking to little sisters and brothers about many things that maybe you'd share with nobody else in this world. We can share our troubles. We can share our problems. We can share our heartaches. And it's all because we have the same friend, the same elder brother, who called us out of nature's darkness and gave us a love for one another and a concern for one another. Where when you're talking to somebody, you know it's bad when you talk to somebody and you wonder whether they really care or not. You ever talk to a doctor and wonder if he really cared about you or just about your green in your pocket or whatever else, and you wonder, do they really care? I know this. I was blessed even by the grace of God to have a caring doctor who would give me medicine and pray that it would work. I didn't just know Him in flesh and blood. I knew Him in the Spirit. That's because we shared the same Lord. We shared the same grace. We shared the same Savior. And that dear brother's with the Lord. And I saw the evidence in it, and I have a confidence that he's with the Lord. And I'm thankful that He's blessed me in such a wonderful way. And I'll tell you, without the Lord, I wouldn't have had any of those things. God forbid I'd ever think I could get along without Him. It's not true, even if I believed it. You know, just because you believe something doesn't make it true. I'm thankful tonight. I believe, though, we're believing things that are true. And we don't believe them to make them true. They're true whether we believe them or not. But oh, what a blessing it is to believe. And if you're able to believe, how can you do that? It's because you have faith. And if you have faith, where'd that come from? It's a gift of God. So who's to get the praise tonight? Not me, not you, not the brethren in the past, but the Lord. And this Lord that we trust in tonight, who's taken us by the hand, and brought us through life and its troubles, is the same God who will take us on until it comes our time to leave this world. And even at that moment, we will not have to be afraid. As a matter of fact, you can, as the Apostle Paul did, look forward to it. Look forward to what? To be absent from the body, which means to die. And the reason for that is because the truth is, when you're absent from the body, you're really present with the Lord. I believe we're present with the Lord right now in a very real way, in the sense that He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. But we haven't begun to see what it's really going to be like to be present with the Lord in the fullest extent of the word, in the fullest of thought that we can get to that. To be made and fashioned like Him and to see Him as He is, He makes me so happy when I can see Him now. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? The answer is no, I can't. The guy that wrote that song, I Can Only Imagine, and I like that song. What am I going to do when I see Him? I'm going to fall at His feet. Thank Him for being so good to a sinner like me. Thanking Him for blessing my life. Thanking Him for loving me. And for showing that love to me. And allowing me in this world to have such a good life. It's a wonderful life. Thank the Lord for it. He has richly blessed us. He says, He set my feet upon a rock and He established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth. Listen, if you're singing this song with me tonight, it's because He put a new song in your mouth. If you're declaring praises unto God tonight, it's because He put a new song in your mouth. If you want to lift up your voice and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, is because He put a new song in your mouth. And one day you'll sing it perfectly. One day when you're absent from the body and you're completely present with the Lord, you'll sing it perfectly, and your heart will be perfect, and your body and your soul and your spirit being made like unto Jesus Christ will be perfect, and that will never end forever and ever. And you won't be alone. You'll have all of the family of God, and you'll love every one of them as much as Jesus loves them. Whew. You know, when you get to a family and there's a good family gathering and everybody loves one another and everybody's getting along, that doesn't usually happen, like I said today, very much. And if it happens for a little while, usually somebody messes it up by saying something. You know how that goes. But I'll tell you, when you get there and you can have it for a little while, then it make you feel good. You just want to sit there and everybody together and just be quiet. Just be happy you're together. It's a wonderful thing. It isn't a glimpse to what it's going to be like to be with Him in glory, when all of the family of God, without the loss of one, we'll know them all and we'll love them all. As much as we love the ones we've known, we'll love them all, even more than we ever loved before. And all of that love is going to be so overwhelming and so wonderful. No wonder we can sing, "Won't it be wonderful there?" No wonder we can say, "What a day that will be." No wonder we can say, "How beautiful heaven must be. What a wonderful place awaits us." But while we are in this earth, we're fighting a battle. He says, and I'll probably just read this and close. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You see, everything about our salvation is about His might. It's about what He did for us. It's about how far down He reached us and how high He's lifted us up. It's about how He created the world, just spoke it into existence. It's about His power in sustaining it. That powerful sun that comes up and can warm you just in a moment of time. That sun didn't light up on its own, neither is it staying lit by His own power. God spoke that sun into existence. And there are many suns, there are many stars that are even greater than that sun that are out there that you and I don't even know about, and God just put them there, I believe, at times so His little children can look up and just see His power and the work of His fingers. You want to see the power of God? You take a sun so many bigger than our sun, which many of the stars are if you were up close to them, and all of them, each one of them, we can't even count them. He made them and He calls them by name. Oh, that's our God. And in this world, as you face life and its trouble, you have that power in the person of the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Son of God, in the person of the Father, that is there with you, whatever comes. No wonder He said, "Be not afraid. Be strong and of good courage." He said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Put on, because of this, there's something to put on. You know why? You're in a battle. That's why you should put on the armor. There's something to wear. He said to put on the whole armor of God. Not part of it, not some of it, but all of it. And I'll tell you where you'll find this armor. You'll find it in the pages of God's Word. As He has declared Jesus Christ and Him crucified in His Word, you'll find what you need for faith. You'll find what you need for practice. You'll find what you need for practical living. You'll find every answer to the questions that you have about life laid down in the Word of God. And the Spirit is in your heart, allowing you to read it and discern it. And therefore, you and I should study it. And whenever it is being preached, we should be present to try to hear and understand as much as we can of God's Word, because I need the armor. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And with that armor, you're able to stand against the trickery or the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, I'm not that familiar with, but it simply means the trickery of the devil. You think the devil can trick you? Oh, how many times? If he can trick you into saying something you ought not say, he'll do it. If he can trick you into thinking something you ought not think, he'll do it. Even in the middle of a good meeting, I've had thoughts go through my mind that I knew came from one place and one place only. I know I do have that old flesh that I have to contend with. But that was at one time under His rule, and I was in captivity to Him. I have good news for you. You're no longer under that captivity, though you have that old flesh to contend with. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He took the strong man and He bound him and He limited him. Not that he doesn't have some influence, but he can't go any farther. He can't go any farther, in a sense, than you as a little child of God, trusting in the Lord and leaning upon the Lord, allow Him to. If we give Him place, He will rule in our lives. But if we resist Him in the strength and the power of the Lord, He has to flee from us. So when we find that battle going on, what do we need to do? Put on our armor. And I got to read it if I don't talk about it much. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." You notice what that says? That you may be able. Doesn't mean maybe you will, maybe you won't. It says this is how you're able. It didn't say maybe you will, maybe you won't. It says this is how you're able. This is the way you may be able. Not possibly, but that you may, that you will be. Get that? You will be able to stand when you do it this way. When you're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He says, in the evil day. And then He goes on and He says, having done all. Does it sound important that we're standing? Absolutely. Having done all to stand. He said, stand therefore. Notice we got stand again. He says, first of all, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then, having done all, to stand. It's important to stand. And He says, then, stand therefore. How? In the power of the Lord. Stand therefore. He says, having your loins girt about with truth. This is the truth right before us. And Jesus Christ is the truth. By the way, when you talk about the written word, you're really talking about the living word also. Not that this word written is the living word, but it declares the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every verse in this Bible points to Jesus. And it points to Him, and it declares Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what Jesus said it did. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And if I need Jesus, and I do in my life, then I need to be close to His Word, because His Word will tell me more about Him, and it will cause me to remember Him and lean upon Him and trust in Him. That's for why I don't need to get too far away from His Word. God's little children need to read His Word. They need to study His Word. They need to hear the Word preached. And then we need to pray, Lord, give us understanding. You can read the Bible, study the Bible, and do everything else. If it's just an intellectual activity, it'll be of very little benefit to you. It's still the best book you could read, even if you're reading it that way. But I'll tell you, if the Lord opens it up to you, this book will talk to you. This book, as the Lord blesses you, will take you and allow you to see things you could not see in any other book in this world. This book is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We need this book. We need God's Word. We need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit uses this Word and men preaching this Word to shine a light in the lives of God's children that have been made alive. This book doesn't bring life, but it allows you to see the life that's been given to you and understand about it so that you might truly live in a way to honor and glorify God. He says, have your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we're not standing in our own righteousness. We're standing in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should remember that. When you put on the breastplate, what you're doing is saying, I have no righteousness of my own. My righteousness is in Christ. And when you go to battle with that idea and that thought, and the devil comes and says, you're sorry and no good, you can say, yes, that's true. But my righteousness is not mine, it's His. And He was not sorry and no good. He was perfect. And so Don't hit me with that arrow, because I have a righteousness I've been clothed with by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I want to talk about that, but we'll go on. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice that no part of this armor fails in any sense. You know why? Because it's been made by God. It's given to you by the grace of God, and it will hold you up in the storms of life. He said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And he says, praying always. Oh, how we need to pray for one another. And always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice he says, not just on our own, but in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means it is our responsibility to watch out and help one another. We're not to be a hindrance. We're not to be a hurt. We're not to discourage. We're to encourage. We're not to beat on the top of people. We're to comfort them and to help them and lift them up. Because in the storms and the troubles of life, God's little children can get in deep trouble. Let me say it this way. Can't we? We don't want to say tonight, can't they? We want to say tonight, can't we? He says, and for me, he said, please pray for me. And I say that tonight in closing, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That we would be faithful to do that. He said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. In other words, I didn't choose myself for this. God called me to this. And I am to represent Him to the people as an ambassador. Ambassador doesn't come making up his own rules. He comes declaring the rules of the one that sent him as an ambassador. And we don't have a right to preach anything at all but what is written in God's Word if we're going to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And he says, of whom I am an ambassador in bonds. He was actually in chains. He was actually chained up even at this time. He suffered greatly for the cause. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I hope every time a minister, especially when I come before you, I hope every time whenever a minister comes before us, we bow down on our knees and we say, God, please bless that brother. Bless him to feed us tonight, Lord, because I need thy word. I need that blessing, and I know he needs that blessing. And I believe if we do that, the Lord is faithful. I've seen him to be faithful. Haven't you? Haven't you? When you've come so hungry and needy, and sometimes you say, Lord, I just feel so brokenhearted. Please give me what I need. When we look to the Lord, does he supply what we need? I say to you, he does each and every time. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's a faithful, loving Father. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. We love you.
About 71.
71.